pass. And for the rest of us, let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. And Lord willing, we're going to conclude in Daniel chapter 6 tonight. Next week, we'll be getting into the prophetic part of the book of Daniel, beginning in Daniel chapter 7. And I've got some charts and graphs and things prepared that I believe, if the Lord will help me, will make this book very, very interesting to you. And I believe that you'll see some facts from this book of Daniel that are quite startling, some prophecies that have come to pass and some predictions that this book made. Daniel actually predicts the exact year that the Lord Jesus Christ would give his life on the cross. That's how accurate the prophecies of this book are. And we're going to be breaking them down and going into them, and I believe they'll be a blessing to you. Because when you study Bible prophecy, the greatest thing about it is that it's one of the greatest proofs that this is the Word of God. Because this is the only book in the world that contains fulfilled prophecy. I mean, that predicted it, and it came to pass. And it's been proven time and time again. And that's one of the great benefits of studying Bible prophecy. I'm not trying to turn everybody into a prophecy scholar or an eschatologist, as the proper name of it would be, but because I'm not that myself. But the more we know and can understand about these great prophecies we're going to study in Daniel, the more we'll see where we're standing right now in God's prophetic time clock. And more, I'm hearing preachers all around. I heard Brother Hagee mention it the other day. I heard one young man, I don't even know his name, was preaching over TV the other day, and he was preaching the cross. And he was preaching on the rapture of the church. And I can't believe how much I've heard over the past couple of weeks about the rapture of the church, because I'm sensing in my heart, as I've shared with you, that we are so very, very close to the coming of Jesus Christ to catch his church away. We really, really are. And hence, we're going to study about all that. The book of Daniel contains prophecy concerning even the rapture of the church. So come ready next week. We'll get into all that beginning in chapter 7. But for the next few moments, let's regress for just a little bit and go back and refresh our minds. I've had quite a bout with the flu, as many of you know, and I missed two Wednesday nights in a row. It feels like forever since I've been able to be with you on Wednesday night. But hopefully you'll recall that we were studying in Daniel chapter 6, one of the greatest stories of deliverance found in the Word of God, as Daniel, for practically the blessing of God on his life, and people being jealous of that blessing of God, to be succinct and not reteach everything again, they became jealous over Daniel's position that he had been given, and he had been given that position by God. They became jealous and tried to think of a way to make him fall in the king's eyes and to rob him of the position God had placed him in. And you could preach right there how often that goes on today in the church. The people want to see a position, they want it, and they'll rob and cheat and kill in some churches to get position or to get a title. I've watched people do it when, thank God, that is not one problem we have in this church. But I've seen it in just about every other church I pastored before this one, because it was predicated upon denominational position usually. And people wanted a title, and people wanted to have a position. And they would rob, chill, cheat, kill, destroy, whatever they had to do to get their position, and once getting it, do all they could to advance themselves and hold on to their position. So that jealousy is very real, spiritual jealousy, and that's what Daniel was facing. That's the crux of the jealousy that he faced. It was a spiritual jealousy. Hence, they got together and they knew the one way they could trip him up, his adversaries, was by trying to get him to compromise his faith. I believe they actually thought he would do it. So you recall, hopefully, they went before the king and said, "King, for the next 30 days, there's no king like you. We want you to make this decree and then sign it, that for the next 30 days, in essence, nobody can worship any other god, any other thing, but you." You know, they made the play to the king's ego, and the king bought into it hook, line, and sinker, and signed it. And hopefully you'll recall that Daniel, being in the position that he was in, the second highest in the kingdom, had to be in close proximity to this conversation. I believe personally, although the word doesn't say this, I believe Daniel actually stood there as they came in and made their play to the king and got him to sign this decree. And Daniel makes no outcry. He doesn't challenge at this point in time. And I believe the Lord had him to keep silent because God was working a plan for Daniel. Hopefully we're going to see that tonight once again, that wherever God places us as believers in Jesus Christ, whatever position you find yourself in life, you are not there by accident. God has you employed right now where you're employed to further his gospel. Everything God does with the believer is really has at the crux of it two salient, powerful truths. Everything that's going on in our lives right now, number one, God is working in us through the person of the Holy Spirit to shape and mold us into the image of Christ. And he's using every single situation in our life right now, whether we would deem that situation good or whether we would deem it negative, God is in control of it all. And he's using those situations to shape and mold us into the image of Christ. Secondly, God has us where we are to be witnesses for his kingdom, to be witnesses of the transforming power, the life-changing power that only Jesus Christ can give. So you may say tonight as we're restudying a little bit this book of Daniel, well, I'm not standing in no king's court or I'm not, you know, don't hold no high position. Doesn't matter. You're right now, child of God, where God has you specifically placed. And you have a world that God is using your life to witness to the people around you, just like he did the life of Daniel. Back to the story quickly now, as we digressed for just a moment. The king signs this, and Daniel has heard of this plan, no doubt. And again, I got to bring it out again. I love what Daniel does. Right after they come up with this decree that says nothing else can be worshipped or prayed to, Daniel immediately goes to his house, throws his windows wide open, and I know begins to shout a prayer down through the alleyways of Babylon, praising Jehovah God and thanking Jehovah God and no doubt stating that Jehovah God is the only God there is and there's none like him. Wow. You know, that'll get you in trouble in a lot of places, making statements like that. Sadly, in some churches, making statements like that'll get you in trouble. With the body of Christ, sadly so. But obviously, Daniel broke the king's decree. His so-called buddies tell on him for breaking the king's decree. And the king, they say, what are you going to do, king? You said you're going to throw somebody into the lion's den. And bear in mind, again, these lions, when they would throw somebody into a lion's den, Babylon was famous for this practice, they would starve those lions for days so that whenever whatever was thrown in there before them, it would be almost immediately devoured by these ravenous lions. So Daniel's marched to the lion's den and he's thrown in there. Again, it should have told him something that right away these lions, when Daniel's thrown in there, they're just laying there looking at him. That's pretty amazing. You know, you think, I would love to have been there. Just to have been an observer. Knowing how starved these lions are, and this great prophet Daniel's thrown in there, and these lions don't immediately pounce on him. They're just laying there. And the king goes home that night, he's troubled, and he gets up very early the next morning, because the king has some faith, obviously so. Obviously so, he has faith. And when King Darius gets up early the next morning, he makes his way down to the lion's den, and he calls out, "Oh, Daniel, has the God you served saved you from the lion's mouths?" And then wonderfully and beautifully, he hears the voice of the old prophet, who's about 80 years old, cry out from the midst of that den, and he says, "Oh, king, live forever. The God I serve has shut the lion's mouths. Praise God. Praise God." Child of God, he'll do the same thing for us today. I submit to you, he does it all the time for us today. But God's path to promotion does not run the easy path that man is accustomed to. Sometimes it's hard for us as children of God to get a grasp on, because we're taught so often, correctly so, that God is a God of of blessing. God is a God of love. God is a God who's a giver. He'll never give you anything that is going to harm you. And ultimately, that is true. But sometimes when he wants to use our lives to spread his gospel and to reach people, one of the best ways for that to be done is for us spiritually to be placed in the lion's den and have everybody around us watching what goes on and how we respond to being placed in the lion's den. Now, by the lion's den, I'm not literally talking about a lion's den like Daniel was thrown into, but I'm talking about a difficult situation or a very trying circumstance where somebody's attempting to get us to compromise our faith, to get a desirable end or what we think would be a desirable end. It's another attempt by Satan, and he always operates this way, to try and get us to take a shortcut to get God's blessing or try to get us to circumvent God's way to obtain an easy way out or to obtain a blessing. And one of the best ways for God to prove the gospel, not only to us, but to those around us, is to put us in a difficult situation, one where we can only trust him. And as I look out over this crowd tonight, I know every one of you have been there before. Some of you there right now. And I feel the Holy Spirit prod me on this. Has he ever failed you one time? Has he ever failed you one time? Maybe he didn't solve the situation like we think he ought to, because let me tell you, from Daniel's perspective, it was no fun laying in that lion's den all night long. Now, I'm here to tell you, I know Daniel's a man of great faith, but Daniel was a human. Daniel was not superhuman. He had to lay in that thing all night long with lions who he knew had been starved to death. And I'm positive that those lions were looking at him, you know, like he was a Big Mac and they hadn't been to McDonald's in 4 years, you know. I'm sure they had that ravenous look in their eyes, man. And Daniel had to sit there all night long. But I've heard some people say that he went to sleep in the lion's den. I could certainly believe that. The Bible doesn't really say that. But it could have been. He's a man of that much faith. But he wasn't superhuman. He had to be a little bit afraid. And in any event, sometimes God puts us in that situation to prove to us that trusting in me will always work. And whenever God puts us in a situation like that, it's always, hear this, it's always to bless somebody else too. Because there's always somebody else watching to see what the outcome is going to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he'll always bring you through. He may leave you there all night long sometimes. In other words, for a time, he may leave you in that difficult situation. And we're crying out, we're sobbing, oh God, deliver me, oh Lord, what have I done wrong? Most of the time we ain't done nothing wrong. Daniel had done nothing wrong to land in the situation he was in. And we're so quick, I believe, to want to jump down on ourselves. Say, well, this is happening to me obviously because I've sinned or I've done something wrong, God's mad at me. Get that out of your head. You're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When God sees you, he sees nothing but perfection. He sees nothing but holiness. You are not the object of his wrath any longer. We were before we came to know Christ and were washed in his blood. We were objects of his wrath. But no more, hallelujah. Well, he's got nothing but blessing planned for us. Ultimately, even though sometimes he's going to leave us in the lion's den all night long. And we don't like that. I don't like it. It ain't no fun staring into the hungry eyes of them lions. You know, maybe we try to go to sleep and we can't do it. Sleep don't come. Maybe we don't have the faith Daniel did. I don't. I sit up all night long looking in them lion's eyes when I'm in that lion's den. You know, wondering, oh God, what are you going to do? How are you going to get me out of this? This is good preaching tonight, ain't it? But in any event, he's going to ultimately deliver you. You're his child. You're not the object of his wrath. I just feel so strongly from the Holy Spirit to bear down on that tonight. You're not the object of his wrath. He sees you as his child. Let me make it even clearer than that. With us being washed in the blood of Jesus, as the Bible so beautifully states, we're in Christ. Hallelujah. That means when he looks at you, he's seeing Jesus. Would he be mean to Jesus? How would God treat Jesus? That's exactly how God's going to treat you if your faith is in what he did at the cross. Woo! Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise on that. Hallelujah. So the king comes and calls to him, Darius does, and Daniel's alive. And what happens? He calls Daniel out, and he sends in then the families of those Chaldeans and astrologers, them, their wives, and their children. And their children, not children's, children, threw their whole families in there. And what happens? As they're throwing them in, the lions are jumping as quick as they can and immediately devour them. I want to tell you something. This is going to be an encouragement to somebody. God may leave you as his child in the lion's den sometimes all night long. And it may look like for a time maybe those who have maybe engineered a plot or schemed or betrayed you to put you there, like they're getting ahead. For a time. You know, these guys that had Daniel put it in, you got to know, man. That night he's in the lion's den, they're down at Applebee's slugging down drinks, having them a party. I doubt they had Applebee's in Darius's time, but they're whatever. They're celebrating, you know. They're down there enjoying the 2-for-20 specials and all kind of beer and just having them a big time. Because their plan worked, so they thought. Not knowing the next morning, destruction was coming for them. You're a child of God. The Bible says, I love to be able to preach this way, because for years I heard preachers preach it from the standpoint of, well, we're God's anointed. You can't challenge anything we say. Don't ever let a preacher tell you nothing like that. If a preacher ever tells you he's God's anointed and he can't be challenged, run from him. Tell him he's a kook and get out from under him. Because that used to be the big thing. Touch not God's anointed. Well, I got news for you. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're all God's anointed. God help the person who lays a hand on you to do you harm. Whether they be saved or unsaved. God help them if they develop a plot against you to try and destroy your faith. That's one of the most evil things that a brother or sister in the Lord can do to another. God will judge that. And it may appear for a time like they're getting by and they're getting ahead. And they be having their party thinking, okay, we destroyed them. We got rid of them. But I'm telling you what, the morning's coming. The morning's coming. And except they repent of what they've done, guess what? The very thing they tried to destroy you with, God's going to use to more than likely bring them to a place of either repentance or destruction if they don't repent. That's what we see going on here in the story of Daniel. That's the vernacular to put it, to make it come alive to us as believers. God will ultimately deliver us. And God help whoever lays a hand on you as a child of God, because you're God's anointed. You're the apple of his eye. He views you being washed in the blood of Jesus and your position in Christ. He views you just as Christ. I'm talking about from the perspective of his love. And that is so glorious, that thought. That, I mean, my soul's just doing flip-flops right now. And it's true, it's scripturally accurate. When we're in Christ, that means we're totally immersed in Jesus Christ. We're lost. There is no more us as far as God is concerned. We're in Christ. And when he looks at us with the same affection, love, and devotion that he has to his son Jesus. Man, that's beautiful. That's powerful. That's what he did for Daniel. He'll still do it for you today. If you're in the lion's den in some capacity tonight, take heart. I can't tell you how and I can't tell you when. And I don't know what methodology he will use. But keep on believing him. Because let me tell you this. Maybe this will help you out. Sometimes maybe that's why he keeps us in the lion's den all night long. It's because after so long, we're going to start to realize, hey, I'm still all right. I ain't missing no limbs. I'm scared, but ain't nothing bad happened to me. Amen? Even though it's been a little bit scary, I'm still standing, glory to God. Glory to God. And then you know what happens? I believe it's at times like that when we start coming to that realization. And if you're like me... Like I said, you've probably sat up all night in the lion's den, but maybe Maybe finally about 4 in the morning, you start realizing he's with me in here. Now, I'm still uncomfortable, and he hasn't brought me total deliverance yet. But I'm still walking. I'm still standing. I'm still all right. I believe I'll lay down and take a nap now. You know, 4 in the morning, but at least you get an hour or so in a good sleep and rest, because you start realizing he's not going to let me be destroyed. Hallelujah. He's not going to let this thing destroy me. He's got me going and got me in here for a reason, and maybe I don't understand them all, but he will not let it destroy me. Hallelujah. So Daniel comes forth of the lion's den, and these others that had plotted against him and their families meet their destruction in the lion's den, the very instrument they tried to destroy Daniel with. Okay, now we want to get to the crux of what I said all that to say this. I want you to see now, we've discussed, I believe, very clearly how God takes care of us and works in us when we're in the lion's den or when he calls us to be a witness for him. Sometimes it's going to be a very difficult, trying situation he uses, not only to prove to us, but to others around us. Now, I want you to look at the effect that Daniel's witness for God and his stand for Jehovah God had on King Darius. We're going to read that in just a minute. But before we go there, there's somebody looking at your life right now as you're going through whatever you're going through. Maybe you've gotten victory. Maybe you've just come out of the lion's den. And you've realized, he's brought me through. He never left me. He never forsook me. Praise God for that. Enjoy it. Drink it up. Shout, because there's going to be another lion's den come for long. And he'll take, like the song says, I believe it was Michelle and him saying a few weeks ago, he'll take you through the fire again. You know? We're never going to get exempt from fires or lion's den as we walk through this life anyway. But he'll always be there with us. But when we go through them, God's never working just for us. He's working for other people around us. He wants those lost people that he has you strategically placed around. When maybe you're thinking you're at your weakest and you can't go on, you can't take another step, you're not going to make it, but yet he holds you there. With his tender love and grace, he holds you and sustains you in the midst of it all. And there's other people watching you. And at times when you don't even realize it, they're wondering, how on earth are they making it? How on earth are they holding up on such a load? I've watched some of you go through situations that I've wondered, how on earth are they holding up under that? But I knew how you were. I knew that Holy Ghost power was flowing into your life because of your faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. And it's been one of the greatest joys as pastor to watch God do things in your lives and to watch this gospel come alive in your life. It is. To know that you thought, I wasn't going to make it. Maybe you called me or came to me in tears and it just, the whole thing seemed hopeless and a wreck. And when you came to me, that's what I thought. I thought, I don't know what to tell them. That's why I say, I've got no real advice. I'll be the first one to tell you, except this. Let's take it to the foot of the cross. Woo! Glory to God. We'll go to the cross with this, and there I know we'll get some help. I don't have no answer, but I know the one who does. Like I've said many times before, ultimately this gospel is one thing. It's one starving man telling another starving man where somebody's giving out a free sandwich. So it is even after we come to the Lord. All this is one messed up person telling another messed up person where there's somebody who can make us all unmessed up. Hallelujah. So other people are watching. Now let's get to our scripture. Okay. Let's go to verse 23. We'll read 23 and 24. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. That means the lions were on them as they dropped them down in the baskets before they could even get them all the way down there. Now, verse 25, look at the effect that this had on the mightiest man in the known world. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. Wow. This is the most powerful man in the world. This is the ruler of the world right here. As far as from a human perspective, we're reading about at this point in time, Darius. He made that foolish decree that got Daniel put in the lion's den, but because of Daniel's faithfulness, look at this decree. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, which was wrong, it was God's kingdom, he gave it to him. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. What a decree. What a decree. Would to God we'd get a leader in the White House that would make a decree like this of all the junk they come down with. Wouldn't you love to see that happen? For somebody to call it like it was and stand in that White House and say Islam is just a big lie. It's been conceived of devils. There's one true God. His name is Jehovah. His only son is Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross, and that's the only redemption there is for anybody. And we make a decree this day that only he could be worshipped in America. Now, I know in our Constitution it says, you know, that we should have freedom of religion. But you've got to understand the context in which the framers of the Constitution were writing. They never dreamed that America would turn and begin to worship Buddha or Islam. They never dreamed that we would elect an Islamic president. And yeah, jump on me for saying that if you want and say, well, I heard him say he's a Christian the other day. He's celebrating Ramadan in the White House by having a dinner, okay? So he's Islamic. But would to God that somebody around President Obama would be such an effective witness for God that it would have this kind of effect upon him. That could really happen. But that, I'm putting it in the modern vernacular so you'll see the power that came from this witness of Daniel by just believing and staying true to his God. It so changed Darius' heart that Darius got saved. King Darius. And he made this decree that no other God but the God of Daniel would be worshipped. And steadfast forever and ever, his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. By prospered, that means again, Daniel was the second most powerful man in the world. He answered only to King Darius. And imagine what a blessed kingdom at this point in time Babylon must have been to have had King Darius with his faith in Jehovah God and the premier prophet in the world and one of the wisest men probably in the world at that point in time, Daniel, ruling right underneath him. And it was all because of Daniel's witness. That's what brought all this about. So let's bring it down to you and I tonight. God has you where you are. You're not there by accident. In the place that you're in, I'm talking about where you live, where you work. I'm bringing it around again to the message I believe the Lord's calling this church to be a witness with our lives, just like Daniel was. You know, as we read this great story of deliverance from Daniel, I hope you've observed one thing. Outside of his prayer, which of course was public, you don't find where Daniel witnessed to anybody as far as a verbal witness. His life did it. His life spoke the gospel. And now you may be thinking, we hear something like that usually, and we start to thinking, if you're like me anyway, oh Lord, I feel you here, I feel you there, I'm not Lord, I know this about myself, and I don't like it. I'm letting you sanctify that portion of my life. But you know what? Never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit to shine through you. Because even through all of our faults and failures, Holy Ghost power is such that it can overcome those faults and failures in the minds of others, because it's a power from heaven. And no, we're never going to be perfect. Daniel was not perfect. Daniel made mistakes just like you and I do. But on the one thing that mattered, his faith, he refused to compromise it. He kept his faith anchored where it needed to be. That's an effective witness. It's not so much running around, and there, to be sure, God's going to give opportunities and times to share the gospel, for you to share your faith with somebody he sends across your path. That's what he's calling his church to do. That's what he's told me. That's going to be the method he uses to fill this church up. And I didn't ask him for that. He gave it to me. Because God wants this message of the cross put out there. But he has told me, at least as far as Crossway Church is concerned, the way it's going to be done is one at a time. As you and I go out into our world, live our Christian lives, keep our faith in Christ and what he did for us at the cross. And when God gives that opportunity for us to tell somebody, just simply tell them, here's what Jesus has done for me. That's all, in essence, that's all that happened in Daniel's life. But Daniel had been given a platform, a position, if you will, of great power. And that's where God had him. That's why the Bible says, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. God will not require the same for us to go to the same level to witness as he had Daniel. God just wants us to do it right where he has us right now. That's all he requires of us. That's all he wants of us, pure and simple. Right where we are right now. We may not be in a king's palace or set on a potentate's board of advisors, but right where our world is right now, there's where God's going to work in our lives to show those around us, just like he did in Daniel's life. Serving God is the only way to go. That's why he'll bless you and keep his hand on you when you don't, like he did Daniel, when you don't even realize you're being blessed by him, and make others realize it. And at times, the blessing of God is going to cause jealousy because the world wants it. They do. They want it. But they don't want to humble themselves to come to the cross to get it. They keep turning. They're like Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts. They want to buy it. You know, they see it. They recognize it. And they think it's something that can be bought or achieved through human means. It can't be. The blessing of God can only come by being in Christ and by placing your faith and trust in Jesus. That's the essence of what I want you to see that in Daniel. Hopefully the Lord's helped me to really bear down and make this story come alive to you of Daniel in the lion's den and put it right where we live today as far as what was really going on. And that's what God wants of us, right where we are, to share the gospel when he gives us the chance. To keep our faith in Christ and what he did for us at the cross. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. Really. I was talking with a couple over in my living room the other night as I start to close now. I'm going to be doing their wedding on Sunday. Tara's real good friends with their little daughter. She goes to school with Tara and is one of Tara's best friends. Ravon and I have been witnessing this couple for quite some time now. And they, like most people, the lady, she said, I am so sick of going to churches where they just want to put on a show. Now, this is what she told me, without, believe it or not, without any provocation from me. She said, I've been down here to this big Nazarene church, and all they wanted to do there was play rock music and put on a blacklight show. And she said, I don't know a lot about anything. She said, that ain't church. And my heart's just skipping beats as this woman's talking. Because I'm like, these are the very people God's calling you and I to reach. Who they know, that's sad, isn't it? When lost people have more discernment than the church, the very ones the church is supposed to be trying to reach, we've so adopted their methods that they know, and you're going to get a kick out of this. Here's what she said. She said, you know what it's like? She said, it's just like going down to the local bar without alcohol. Now think of that. That's her words, not mine. She said, the churches I've been in and the way they act. And she says, they don't say nothing about Jesus. And I sensed as I was doing that counseling session with them, as we've been praying for them, I thought, God's given me the door here. And I began to tell her and her fiancé the gospel of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, about how all of us fall short. And that's why Jesus came. That's why God sent him. Because through our own efforts, we can never, ever, ever meet God's standard of perfection. But Jesus came and met it for us. And I said, that's why faith must be exhibited only in him. Joe and Debbie, not in what we do. Because they were both feeling very guilty. They said, the churches we've been in, they've looked down on us. They've talked mean to us. And yes, they've been in sin. And I was, you know me, I was honest with them. I want to see them come to the Lord. I said, yeah, y'all are living in sin. But I said, that don't mean we don't love you. I said, you'd be just as welcome at our church. And I said, the people would have thrown their arms around you. But I said, I guarantee you, I'd have stood in your face and told you that you're a sinner and you need Jesus, like I'm telling you now. And I said, if you'll give your life to Christ, I said, God puts us in Christ. Y'all could preach what I preach to them. I don't need to go into it. And that night in my living room, with tears rolling down their cheeks, they met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand of praise. And I know what I told them was nothing that not a one of you seated under my voice tonight could not have told them. And I said, Lord, thank you for letting this happen. Because I said, I know what you want our church to catch. This is what, and they're going to come to church here. They are. They're not going to this Sunday. I'm doing their wedding Sunday afternoon after service here. I'm not doing it Sunday morning, but they'll be getting ready for that. But she said, I've never heard the gospel put like this before. Or she said, I've never heard Jesus talked about like this. After having been in a number of churches, and after they left, I told Ravonna, it brought tears to my eyes, because the Lord reminded me one more time, that's what I've got you all there for, is to do this, because they're out there by the multiplied thousands, just like these two. And I'm going to send them across your people's paths at Crossway Community Church. I believe that's what God is saying to me. And when he does, if we'll just tell them the simple gospel, church, it can be done. It must be done. You can do it. The Holy Ghost will help you. You don't have to be a brilliant theologian. I know you know enough to tell this couple exactly what I told them. But you see, once people realize their need for Jesus Christ, and they realize, oh, so that's why he came to and went to the cross. He died in my place. When he didn't have to, he was perfect. And I'm imperfect. And if I give my heart and life over to him, God counts me as being perfect. My Lord, that's enough to make anybody do flip-flops. And it's so simple. It's so lovingly simple. God made it that way. And that's what Jesus said. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. The Holy Spirit will flow so powerfully through that type of witnessing. And it's not rocket science. You know, don't become fearful if they ask you, well, what about the dinosaurs? You know, I mean, if you've done some research on that and you can answer their question, fine. But pull them right back. Say, dinosaurs ain't the issue right now. The issue is we're talking about Christ, Jesus Christ, and what he did for you on the cross, and mankind being a sinner and unable to save himself. That's the issue at hand right now. We'll get to the dinosaurs later if you want to. Don't let them pull you away from the cross in that conversation. You keep taking it back there. Why? Because the power of Almighty God is there. And the Holy Ghost will flow powerfully through the simplest gospel presentation if it's done right. And it's not that hard to do it right. Simplest thing in the world. And they walked out of there with smiles on their faces, and I'm just anticipating the wonderful things God's going to do in their life. Because I know they're going to come here and they're going to love what they hear. Because they ate up what little bit we told them the other night, Ravonna and I. They'd never been in a church. Think of that. In the United States of America, That shows you how far the churches have moved from the gospel, where she said it herself. Every church I've been in over the last year, it's been like going to a bar without the alcohol. Now think of that. She said all they want to do is play rock music and have laser light shows and jump and holler. And they don't even mention Jesus. She said most of the ones I've been in don't even open their Bibles to read from it anymore. And she's right. I know that. I've done enough study and research to know that. And I know some of you maybe don't know that. You may be shocked by that. But it's true. So once again, church, I leave you tonight. Let God use you. He's going to fill this church. I believe that with all my heart, with people like Joe and Debbie. And it's going to be simply because when you got the chance, you told them the gospel. Praise God. Do you have a question, Linda? That's okay. It's okay, cry. We'll cry with you. I feel it too, Linda. Praise God. Good girl, Linda. Praise God. There you go, Linda. Linda, and that's good. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's under conviction. Yeah. He's under conviction. By him acting that way, your life is convicting him. That's Holy Ghost power at work. That's exactly. You've beautifully illustrated what I've tried to teach tonight, Linda. And again, don't let him get it on you. Keep pulling him back to the cross. Keep pulling him back to the cross. That's Holy Ghost power at work, Linda.
But it's the truth. I mean, you know.
Praise God. I rejoice with you. See? We're going to hear that testimony, what Linda's sharing, repeated over and over and over again. Because I know God didn't give me this and give me to preach to you all. When he does something like that, he's already been working on the other end. He's already been working on hearts that he wants the message delivered to. And God's going to use us to win a lot of folks into the kingdom. Praise God. That's good. That's right. That's right. Never be afraid when you're talking to somebody about the Lord. Ain't nobody out there smarter than God. Okay, I don't care who they are. I don't care how many letters they got behind their name and what college they're president of or what company they're the CEO of or how many millions they got in the bank. They ain't smarter than God. And you got the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, who's God. He'll give you things to say that you'll, just like what Linda's sharing with us, you'll go, wow, where'd that come from? And you'll know that my mind don't work that way. I don't know how I was able to think of something like that. Holy Ghost power. It'll work, church. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Well, would you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as we do, I want us to pray for Brother Paul Kelly tonight. He's got just a special unspoken request he asked me to be praying for about a situation he's going to be facing tomorrow. And is anybody else, as we're closed tonight, you got a special need or request you want to share with us real quick? Anybody at all? Michelle. Okay. Let's remember Michelle's grandmother in prayer then. Anybody else? Yes. Praise God. Let's remember. He will. God's got his hand on David, Teresa. You hang in there with him. God's working in his life. I talked with Paul about that very thing today also. Let's pray for David tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Did I see somebody else with a hand up? Okay. Heavenly Father, tonight we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for what I believe is a fresh wind of revival that's blowing through this church and through our souls, Lord. Because, Lord, we believe we have received specifically what you want this church to do and how you want us to do it. You've given us everything, Lord, and we feel that. We sense it. And we give you praise and glory that you've chosen us to be used by you and in your kingdom. Lord, tonight, as we come before you, your arm is not shortened. One of the greatest scriptures in the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to lay your hand upon this situation with Paul and for you to supernaturally just work and work it to a right conclusion, Lord, and to a conclusion that would be a blessing to Paul, I ask in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to lay your hand upon Michelle's grandmother in the name of Jesus. Lord, just like you opened blinded eyes, you cleansed the lepers and you healed the sick. Father, we believe you to touch her body and to cease these many strokes in the name of Jesus. Touch her tonight, I ask in Jesus' name. Lord, for David, we pray that your hand would be upon him and that, Lord, I know you're leading him. I know your spirit is dealing with him. Lord, I just pray that you will lead him into a solid relationship with you. Lord, that you would show him he must forsake all sin and turn his life completely over to you. And Lord, I believe and know you're going to do great things with David. Lord, we praise you tonight. And Lord, use us to win other people. Father, keep us sensitive to simply tell the glorious gospel when you give us the opportunity. Lord, go with us now until we meet again on Sunday morning. And bless your people tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.